So happy Father's Day, everyone. And we are thankful for you. Pastor Terry's going to come and pray a blessing over our fathers. I ask that you just stand up. If you're here and you're a dad, would you stand up? Kids don't have to be present. You're still a dad. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I want to read a scripture, and this is one of God's promises over us fathers today. And this is not for perfect fathers. This is for those that pursue Jesus. Amen. This is Proverbs 4. I will guide you in the way of wisdom, and I will lead you in upright paths. Amen. Amen. Tell you what, if you're near a father in just a second, you know, Jesus says when he died, he put his spirit in those that turn to him. So if you're a follower of Jesus, when you got saved, Jesus put his spirit in you. You've got power inside of you, kingdom power. So there's something about impartation. When I put my hand to pray on somebody, in faith, I'm releasing the kingdom of God. So if you're near a father standing, would you reach your hand out and either touch them or reach near them? We're going to pray a blessings over fathers right now. So, Father, we just ask for your blessings over these fathers, that you would give us wisdom to lead. Father, we would lead as servants, that we would serve our families and our communities with strength and courage that comes from the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, dads. We want to honor you today. We appreciate you. And in fact, that is the word that we're going to be talking about today. The word is honor. And as you see on the screen, the title of my message today is Men of Honor. And there's a couple of ways that you could take that phrase, men of honor. One is it could be taken as they're worthy of honor. And the other one be taken as one who gives honor. And so you may be asking, which one is it? And my answer is yes, it's both, because it's those who give honor who are honorable. Amen? This is a day and age in which I think this message needs to be preached over and over and over again. And it's one that I have had to learn and I'm still learning. And sometimes I struggle with it. I mean, just flat honest, sometimes I struggle with this. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. And I want to point out as a little disclaimer that the Lord gave me this passage of scripture and he gave me this message before I ever knew of any protest called No King. So please understand, this is not my response to that, but it is possibly God's response to it, because he knew the end from the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. He knew all of these things. And he gave me this passage of scripture very specifically. And so I want you to see this. And we'll start in verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. And when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Just real quick, kind of breaking into this passage of scripture, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Basically, this was a phrase, Gentiles is basically a non-believer. And so we ought to live in such a way that a non-believer can look at our life. Chris used to have this t-shirt. It said, live in such a way that your friends who don't know Jesus but know you will come to know Jesus because they know you. Yeah. Amen. So live in such a way that somebody who's never seen God can look at you and say, I've seen God. Seen God. So verse 13, therefore submit yourselves. Ow. Why does the scripture have to hurt sometimes? Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of... By the way, I want you to know that has never happened, verse 14, to me. And that I have never had a police officer stop me and say, I want to give you a little commendation for driving the speed limit. Did you see it? It says praise for those who do good. I've never had one say, I just want to just give you a thumbs up on your good behavior. I have been stopped before. But there's other stuff. That was stupid. Let's get back to the scriptures. How about verse 14, to governors, to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. What is God's will? That we, as those who know God, can live in such a way that there's no defense, that somebody can't say, you know, I've seen brother so-and-so, I've seen sister so-and-so. And he said, live in such a way that they just look at you and say, that's what it's supposed to look like. That's what it's supposed to sound like. So, again, it's not, as the pastor, as the preacher guy, I'm often looked at as one who's supposed to have it all together. Please know I don't. And the Lord is still working through some of this with me. We're actually, if you don't know this, it's now about to be live streamed. We're a church that's suing the government right now. We are about to win a case against the IRS. And it goes back to the 60s, and it was called the Johnson Amendment. The Johnson Amendment was put out by Lyndon Baines Johnson, basically restricting the church from getting involved in government stuff. And it was because he didn't like some of the things that happened during his candidacy. And so that passed, and the church has been under this for so since the 60s. And it's wrong. And it's basically trying to eliminate the church out of, and by the way, if you have a church that doesn't get into politics, find another church. Because this is the area of influence that we need to be touching. Amen. Don't sit back and complain about the world. Don't do anything about it. Don't complain about it anyway. Let's do something about it. So Sand Springs is one of the four plaintiffs in this lawsuit against the IRS that says if you get involved in political stuff, you'll lose your tax exemption. We say it's not fair and ain't right. Because there are some churches that if they're leaning left, they can get away with murder. Now, I didn't mean to go all that far, but I'm saying all of that to say I can disagree and still respect. And that's the whole point here. We can disagree and still respect. Let's keep going before I get upset. All right. Therefore, verse 13, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, governors as to those who sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may be put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Here we go, verse 17. Boom, 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 boom. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Honor all people. How many people is all? It's all. Just Christian people? No, it's all. Those that I agree with? No, it's all. Even if they're an idiot, yeah, that's all. See, you can't honor a person and call them an idiot, but I'm still working on that because it just comes out so quick. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God. And that's really the root of all of this. The fear of the Lord, that is the beginning of wisdom. To fear the Lord and recognize that what the scripture tells us, and if you continue to read it, you'll see it, that the Lord set order in place. And if you recognize that he has the authority to do so, then you'll submit to the authority he puts in place. Fear God. Honor the king. I'm going to come back to that statement on honor the king. Now, I want to talk about what is the opposite of honor. What is the opposite of honor? We'd say, well, it's dishonor, and you'd be wrong. In the scriptures, we have the word dishonor pop up every now and then, and it does not even look close to the opposite of what this passage of scripture is talking about. But there is another word that comes up often, and it is the opposite of this passage of scripture, and that is the word lawlessness. Lawlessness. Let's look at a few of these scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate. And there is your explanation of the word lawlessness. Someone who is insubordinate. Someone who says, I refuse to respect authority. That is what this is. Lawlessness and insubordinate. For the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and the profane. And then it just goes downhill real fast. For murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, manslayers, fornicators, sodomites, kidnappers, liars, perjurers. Oh my goodness. It just, like I say, it just drops off the cliff. As it gives this list, but where does it start? Insubordinate, someone who would not yield to God or the authorities that he puts in place. If you want to know what this looks like, turn on the news. Just turn on the news and watch the riots and what are they saying? We will not submit to authority. So as we look at more of these passages of scripture on lawlessness, I want to look at Acts chapter 2. And last Sunday we preached on Pentecost, and this is that occasion in which Peter gets up there and he starts preaching this sermon. And in verse 23, he says, speaking of Jesus, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands. Lawless hands. In other words, the people that crucified Jesus were those who would not submit to God, even though they thought they were actually under the sway of Satan. Lawless hands. And now 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Do you know who this is referring to? It's the Antichrist. Not only will he not submit to Christ, he is anti-Jesus, anti-Christ, and he's referred as the lawless one. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8. It speaks of this lawless word again. And for the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day. And it's talking about Lot way back in the book of Genesis. By seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. And this word lawless gets thrown in here. And if you have your Bible and you see a subtitle, it's going to say false teachers. What is a false teacher? It's someone who is not yielded to the Lord, that won't yield to God, but continues to teach things out of insubordination. And so that's the opposite of honor. The opposite kind of gives us an idea of what true honor is supposed to look like. And so as we come back to this passage of scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, verse 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. I already told you that I am still a work in progress, right? I'm still a work in progress. When I'm not a passive kind of guy, I'm a little more aggressive. And so if you come at me, I want to come right back. Plus some. We were getting taken to jail in Africa one time. Christy and I were with some Africans there in the west coast of Africa. We're walking, we have the people in the church that we were working with. We were walking down this trail and just seeing all the banana trees. It was beautiful, and we were taking pictures. And this very large man, and very mad, comes running at us and is shouting and hollering at us. Of course, I don't understand what he's saying, but it's pretty obvious he's not happy. And the fact of the matter is he accused us of being spies. And the people that we're with, you know, they're saying he wants to take us to jail, and he says we're spies. And now he's done hacked me off. I want y'all to know. Now this guy is almost 7 foot tall. He's huge. He's mad. And what he really wanted was money. Well, I ain't going to give him no money. And so the church members, I said, there's a dozen of us. I'm mad. I said, we could take him. But no, they said, no, it's best for us just to go with him. We walked 5 miles to jail. I'm going willingly, walking 5 miles to jail when there's a dozen of us and one of him. I mean, I'll go low, you go high. But this was a people that lived in a world where they understood the scripture. Because people were watching their lives and they recognized that the honor that they lived by earned them the respect that they needed. Did I tell you I'm a work in progress? We get to jail, just so you know, we didn't get locked up. We get to jail and the peace officer, the policeman there in Africa, they said, yeah, we talked to this group yesterday. You're free to go. And now I'm thinking, now I got to walk 5 miles back. We need to hit him just cause. But here's what the scripture says. Just honor everybody. We don't get to evaluate whether they're worthy of it or not. We don't get to make judgment calls. We just honor them. I had a meeting with someone. This has been a little while now. And had a meeting with this individual. And it had been set up for a little bit. And I knew this man's lifestyle. And it was not, and it's not, well, it's actually in that one of the lists that I just read. And in meeting with this individual, I prayed about it before I went to sleep that night. And how am I going to approach this? And how, you know, what's this conversation going to be like? And the Lord, all night long, the Lord just keep giving me a word, respect, respect, respect. My evaluation of him would say, he's not worthy of respect. He's worthy of judgment. And I'm remembered the scriptures where the Lord says, who are you to judge another man's servant? Respect, respect. Well, that next day as I visited with this individual, I did exactly as the Lord had impressed upon my heart, and I honored him and I respected him. And to this day, we have a great relationship. It's amazing how when you apply this to your life, it works. It works. This is a kingdom principle that is unchanging. There are laws of heaven that don't change no matter who it is that does it. Tithing, Brother Terry mentioned tithing just a little bit ago. This is one of those laws. A lost person can do it, they'll get the same results. Someone who's a God hater but understands this principle of you will receive what you sow, they'll get the same results. Someone who understands this kingdom principle of honor, guess what you get when you give honor? Honor. You receive what you give. You reap what you sow. And so we have a great illustration and demonstration of this being lived out by none other than our Savior. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you'll look with me in verse 21. For to this you were called. By the way, if you just read the whole chapter, it talks about submitting to those in authority. And then in verse 21, just kind of cutting straight to it. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you are like sheep going astray. And sometimes I still feel like a sheep going astray. But have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. He says Jesus didn't just save you. He modeled what this life is supposed to look like. And even standing before the high priest Caiaphas and this trumped up charge and this ridiculous court that they bring him in front of, and they've already beat him up unlawfully. They've brutalized him. They've made fun of him. And all he did continually was honor and honor and honor. And then they bring him before Pontius Pilate. And very, in our judgment, we'd say he ain't worthy of respect. And all Jesus did was honor, honor, and honor. And I struggle with this because sometimes there will be a leader in our lives, whether it be a boss, whether it be an official, and there'll be a leader that we would say, I can't follow what he's telling me to do. And then this last week or 2 weeks ago, I'm reading this book, and I need to give this reference to this book. I need you to read this book if you can read it. Pastor Terry told me about this book and said it's one of his top 10. I read it, and it has so affected my life, and much of this message comes out of it. And it's the book called Undercover by John Bevere. And in that, and this is fresh bread because I'd never considered this before. In this book, it says that you can respect, you can submit, even if you can't obey. I didn't think so. I thought that's what submission meant, to obey. But Jesus demonstrated that even when he could not do because of what God had already told him, here's Pontius Pilate saying, basically, defend yourself. But God had already told him, don't defend yourself. And so he could not obey him, but he continued to respect him. Man, I struggle with that. And to have someone, I say, no, they go completely contrary to this. I'm not going to obey them, but I'm not going to respect them either. And the Lord says, no, if you want to get in on this kingdom culture, you're going to respect them. Because if we go back to this passage of scripture, chapter 2, verse 17, the last phrase in verse 17, honor the king. Now, I need you to know who this king was that they're talking about. It was King Nero. If you don't know anything about Nero, he was this crazy, evil psychopath who accused Christians of burning Rome. And because of it, and it's probably him that did it. And so because of it, he would take Christians and put them on a sharpened pole and cover them in tar and light them on fire so that they could illuminate his garden. And you're going to write this about him? Or you're going to be a young David and you have a King Saul that is trying to kill you, the, running you all over the desert and throwing spears at you and hurling insults at you. And you're going to be a David and just honor, honor, honor. God says, well, that's kingdom culture. And if you want what it provides, then you'll honor. Because it's a law. A law as in it don't change. It doesn't change. If you apply it to your life, it is a conditional thing. If you honor, you will be receiving honor. You will receive honor. You will be blessed. You will be in the flow of God. Anybody else struggle with it? I thought it was just me. Honor the king. That king? King Nero? Yeah. Even him. Even if you can't obey, you still are submitted, respectful, and reverent to the position. Now, I'm going to tell you, just again, we've had politicians and people in offices that I think are absolutely evil and ignorant. and I want to voice that. God says, not if you're going to be a part of kingdom culture. No, I still got a lot of fight in me, and I want to bow up when something is wrong, and I will let somebody hurt one of these kiddos or one of my sisters in here. But the Lord says kingdom culture though understands authority was put there by God. Say even evil ones, that's where it comes difficult. But apparently the answer is yes. Because God can use anything. Do you hear me? God can use anything for our good. Are y'all with me? The first service was quiet too. You know why? Because this stuff is tough. But also because for most of us, this is a new concept, even though it's been in here the whole time. Are y'all with me on that? I've been reading this thing. I've read through, I got to adding it up yesterday. I've read the entire Bible over 30 times. Over the course of my life, over 30 times I've read through this entire Bible. And that concept, I easily explained away over and over and over. And finally, God pins you up against the corner and says, here, read it for what it says and quit trying to explain it away. And then I said, oh. Do I have to? If you want to get in on kingdom culture, you do. Because this is the way it flows. This is the way it flows. So guys, this is Father's Day. And I want our men to be men of honor. And if you're going to be honorable, you're going to give it so that you can receive it. And how in the world, and please, if for society's sake, for the sake of our world, teach your children to respect. That's very, very scriptural, by the way. Teach your children to respect. First and foremost, respect you. And then other authorities, their teachers, the police officers. Teach your children to respect. But here's the thing. If you're telling them to do it, but you're not demonstrating it, then they're going to do what you do, not what you say. Right? So we need to live this out before we really try and push this to our children. But my goodness, let's go over this again. We do it occasionally, but I hadn't done it on a Sunday morning in a while. And it is talking about in line and in order. In line and in order. Let's start with the order. With the kingdom of God, here's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We call it the Trinity. And they're always in agreement. Always in agreement. And his blessings flow straight down. So if I get in under the authority of who God is, I get his blessings. Is that clear? So that's the beginning of the order. He's the ultimate authority. But there are other authorities in our lives, and they may or may not line up under God. But if they line up under God, it makes it easier in life, doesn't it? That's why these passages of scriptures will say, pray for the king. There's other passages of scriptures. Pray for those other authorities over you so that we might live peaceable lives. So it'll be easier. It'd be easier when your local politicians and your police officers love Jesus more than anyone else. It's just easier, but sometimes they don't. But it doesn't. If I want his blessings, I'm going to have to get under his authority. But what about those that aren't under his authority? Still in the order. And you submit to him even if you can't obey him. Everybody clear on that? Then it comes to the family. So we have Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We have government and police officers and bosses and teachers and all of these other authorities that are in our life. And then we get to the home and we're down to now the building block of society. And here's the order of the home: father, mother, children. Yeah? This is Father's Day. Honor your father and your mothers. I love them so much. Father, mother, children. If your kids run your household, the monkeys have taken over the zoo. Father, mother, children, that's the order. But you also need to be in line under his authority. To get the full benefit and blessings of God, I line up under the authority of God and get in the order that I'm supposed to be in. To have a blessed house, then we recognize God, it's on our front door. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's on my front door. When you walk up to my house, that's what you're going to see. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I want to keep everything in order and in line, right under his authority. He is my God. Amen. I've always understood that my dad helped me understand it. I mean, he helped me real good. I mean, he drove it home. You know what I'm talking about? But this business of honor, that's the key that I've missed for so long. God says, if you really want in on the good stuff, you'll get that stuff. And if you really want your children to see this, the blessings of God, you'll get in on his kingdom culture. And just like Jesus, even when they talk trash on you, you honor them. Even when they turn their back on you, you continue to honor. And when they stab you in the back, you continue to honor. That's hard. But God says, if you do it, there's a promise that comes with it. And I want everything he's got. I was just reminded as I was preaching in the first service. We're about to land this plane. Me being out in the front yard over an incident, I was so mad. I was kicking. I was ready to go hurt somebody and kill his cat. Y'all have heard some of this. Y'all have heard this story. And I mean, I had it planned out. I knew exactly what I was going to do. And I'm going to go down to San Antonio, kill this man's cat, hanging up in his doorway, and say, "Don't ever mess with me again." I don't like cats, if y'all don't know that. And I'm just so mad, red in the face, stomping and kicking out in my front yard. And God said, "You put your hands on it, and I'm taking mine off." He said, "But if you keep your hands off, I'll keep mine on it." Well, he drove it home that day that this is his. This is his. Trust him with it. And I said, "Okay, Lord, I will trust you with it." But I want you to know that is just in the negative. That is just me not doing something. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? That's y'all catch it on where I'm going with this. That was me just saying, "Okay, I won't." But I missed the other half of this thing when I could have really been blessed and said, "Okay, I will honor him." Does that make sense? That's kingdom culture. Not just to not do, but to do the very thing that you want to do the opposite of. Let's get in on that. And let's bring honor back. Amen. Let's bring honor back. And so when we're sitting at the dinner table and trashing the politicians and the preacher, and don't do that, please don't do that. It happens all the time, I get it. And the government and then telling our kids, "You respect me." See, it's more caught than it is taught. But when we as men are honoring, we as men will be honorable. Amen. By the way, it's not just men. Let us all be taking this scripture to heart. Honor all people. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you are God, and we are not. And you have the right to command and tell us your ways, and we have no right to rebel. And Lord, as long as I was walking in ignorance, and I think some of it was willful ignorance, you continued to have patience with me. But now I know better. And I pray that our congregation today will forgive me for making them aware of this. Because now they know better. We will be held responsible to the knowledge that you have imparted to us. But we, God, want to see our society changed first and foremost by the name of Christ. But it may not be that we can even utter that name to some unbeliever until we have first shown them respect. So help us to go against our flesh by being transformed by the Spirit. We're not pushing the flesh down. We are walking in the Spirit. Then we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And we will not just do the not doing. We will be doing the doing. Lord, help us with that. For you commanded. It's a command. It's a clear one. Honor all people. And in so doing, lost people will see we truly know God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this truth. Help us to live by it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.